Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Lord, to have this applied to our lives. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, some of you know that back in August, middle of August, I took a vacation and went down to Florida. Now, it was hot down in there at that particular time, but I went really down to relax. I went down to spend some time with my brother and his wife, and just to chill and really just to spend some quiet time. One of the things that I don't know what you like to do, maybe you don't like to do this at all, but when I go on a vacation, I kind of like to go do some shopping. I don't usually do shopping. I don't usually care about doing shopping and whatnot there, but if I'm away on a vacation or if I'm away somewhere, if I can find something, then I like to go and do that. And so I had found some nice things and it was all good. And I felt like I just felt like I was supposed to go to Walmart. And you're like, Walmart? Yeah, I felt like I was supposed to go to Walmart. I'm going to go into Walmart, and I'm like, maybe I can pick up a couple of shirts that are in Walmart and whatnot and look around and see. And so I get to Walmart, and I'm there, and Karen just decided to stay home. She was like, believe it or not, I can be a somewhat of a shopper, and she's not at all, which is really strange. I know for some of you guys are going, oh, he's failing the code. What's going on? You know, in this, but it's like, I don't like to do it all the time. I'm more of a hunter than I am a shopper. Okay. In there, I know what I need. I know what I want. I go find it and I'm out. Okay. In there. But when I went into Walmart, I was there and I was looking for some shirts, and I went in and I'm like, I walked up and I'm looking around and I'm like, I was like, oh, look. And there were this whole rack of shirts. Now, being a big guy, you often don't get to say, well, I like this one, I like this one. You're more looking at the tag, this one fits. Yeah, that's good. Let's take that one. That's kind of the way it sometimes is in this. But when I was there, oh, they had selection. They had things. There was I could pick and choose. And there was like all of these shirts that were in there. And then I look over there and they're on sale, like they were $35, $40 on sale for $6. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. And so I'm looking through these shirts and I'm finding, and they're not like, pardon me, I'm not a, you know, Walmart basher, but they're not the typical Walmart. They're a little bit nicer, you know, it was good. And so I'm picking out, I have three in my hand and I'm trying to control myself and just be wise and whatnot. And in there and I grab three and I hear this screaming and yelling at the other end of the store. And it were not nice words. They weren't saying, you know, hello, how are you? We think you're awesome. There were extreme, strong, bad words, words that start with letters. You know what I'm talking about already, okay? And someone was screaming at someone down the other end. And I just, to be honest with you, just went, it's just Walmart, okay, in there and whatnot, where I am. And I just said, okay, I'm just going to continue to look for these shirts. And threw them and whatnot. And the screaming got, you know, louder down there. So I went over and looked down the aisle just to see, you know, how the aisles are there. I'm in the clothes section. So I'm looking down the aisles, down the grocery section, and there are these two kids, probably 18, 19, somewhere in there, running, okay, in there. And another one's screaming and yelling and whatnot. And so I'm like, I didn't even think about it. I just went back to looking for my shirts, okay, in there. Came back around, and all of a sudden, I look over to my right, and this sweet little lady is pulling a cart and running down the aisle, and she's dragging this cart behind her, and then she just gives up the cart and starts running. And I'm just thinking in my head that, you know, someone doesn't like screaming and yelling, and there's probably some fighting and whatnot and that and whatnot. She's just out of there. Well, we go from there to I'm going through, and I've got my three shirts, and I picked them all through, and I realize, it's awfully quiet in here. And I look around and I'm looking, I can't see anybody anywhere. And I look over and I finally see this other guy over in the electronics section way over there. And I go wander out. And this sweet little lady comes with one of those little Walmart vests on, right? And she comes out and she's like, sir, you have to put the shirts down and leave. And I'm like, these are my shirts. You know, what are you talking about? She's like, there's an active shooter in the building. You must put your stuff down and go. And I'm like, there's a what? And she's like, yes, you must can I, and honest, my mind was like, where can I hide my shirts? Where can I hide these? I'm serious. It's just what it was. So I sort of folded it, balled it up, stuck it in this little thing kind of thing. And this lady's like, you've got to go now. And over, as she's saying this to me in the beginning, actually, as soon as she said there's an active shooter in the building, over the announcements comes, all customers, please leave the building. There's an active shooter in the building. And so the whole time realizing that, so I was a bit stressed. There's just a lot of things going on beforehand before I went down. I went to Florida to get rid of some stress and to relax and whatnot. The funniest thing is I didn't have an ounce of fear at the time. I was more focused on my shirts, okay, that this person is now going to cause me to possibly lose. And so I'm fine. I walk out the door. And as I'm walking out the door, the sheriffs are coming in with guns drawn, full camp, like gear and whatnot going past. And I'm like, ooh, okay, when me, you know, kind of walked out the door and I get outside and there's people everywhere. I'm thinking, man, like, I didn't even notice it. And when it was heard, I didn't have any fear. I walked outside again. I was more irritated. So I went home and whatnot. And a little bit later on in the day, I explained to Karen, told Karen after a little while, I was trying to figure out what I was going to say and whatnot. We were there for vacation, not to be stressed out in there. And so three hours later, she sees me getting up to go. She goes, where are you going? I said, I'm going back to Walmart to get my shirts. And she's like, you're what? And I'm like, I am going back to Walmart to get my shirts. And so sure enough, get in the car, drive into Walmart. I go over to this little place that I hid them in. Ta-da! There's my shirts. Okay, in there. I was so excited in there. Now, you might say, what in the world does this have to do with anything? It was funny because the Lord began to talk to me about, you know, Rod, if you cared more about what I was doing, see how nothing stopped you from getting those shirts. Those are $6 shirts, Rod. He goes, you would not believe what I have in store for you over this next season. It's way better than some $6 shirt. But I'm going to need you, Rod. I'm going to need you to persevere, to push through fear, to push through all of these other things, and begin to hungrily go after this, and to begin to say, nobody's keeping me out of an encounter with God that changes the world around me. Come on now, right? And today what I want to do is I want to just share with you that I'm on a journey. One of the things I had a little bit of a conversation, and I'm going to try to watch our time today, with the Lord was, God, I don't like preaching things that I don't have fully down. And it's like, and he's like, do you have anything fully down yet? And I'm like, thank you, love you too. Okay, in this. But it's like, it's that season. I believe in integrity. And so when I say this to you and when I'll preach this with you, understand that this is a journey that we are all going to go on. If you choose to come on, go on it with us in there. But literally, this is the word that came out of me in the prayer room in there on Tuesday morning. It was the fact that prepare yourself for a divine surprise. Prepare yourself, Antioch, and we were speaking over Antioch at the time. We were saying, Antioch, prepare your heart, prepare yourself, prepare yourself for a divine surprise. And what happens in the midst of this is, let me give it to you this way, and I'm going to do a lot of reading this morning because this is the way I felt like, and a lot of these things that the Lord gave me verbatim just to write down, and I didn't want to really change and touch some of these things in here. But the question that I would have is when you first hear that word, some of us are going to respond like this. We are going to respond with excitement and anticipation. We're going to really respond with an infusion of joy and, wow, this is awesome. And yet there might be some of us that would respond to that statement, that prepare for a divine surprise, that we might respond out of exhaustion, out of disbelief, or for some of us even out of absolutely nothing, flatline. We may not have felt anything and you're looking going, you're hoping nobody's looking at you right now, okay, in this. But truthfully, it's like there is a journey right now amongst us. Even possibly that when you hear that word, it's like, well, that's for somebody else. When I even first heard this, this is how my mind works. Okay, and I really wish we weren't on camera at times. But listen, when I heard myself say it, I disagreed with myself. You're like, what, Pastor Rod? What? That prophetic word came out of my mouth, and then I went, because doubt and fear had, I realized, had become, and even, I thought I had been dealing with it all month long, and then I realized there was still some residue left that had to get rid of and get out of my life. Anybody have any residue from the last 3 years that needs to go out of your life? I called it in this sermon, called it the slime, for a lack of better word, that has stuck to us. It's got into the carpet. If I, as a children's pastor, have sent slime home with your kids and it got in your carpet, I apologize. Because I know it's happened. I know it's happened. It's really difficult to get out. It's really hard. It's like you say to the kids' ministry, we're going to do slime. Kids go, yay. Parents go, oh. Because if you know, if it gets into your carpet or gets into your couch, oh my. If it gets into your couch, it's so hard to get out. But this is what I feel like for some of these things that have been over this past season, that it's got into the carpet of our lives and it's made a mess. Maybe for you the reaction was a combination both of excitement and exhaustion mingled together with doubt, or if you thought about it long enough, you might be able to talk yourself out of being involved with it. Because we're in this season right now, I feel like that a lot of times it's going to be like Jesus when he asked the question in Mark chapter 9:23. This is a really important verse, 23 and 24, for us over this next season. And please, I don't think I'm all that in a bag of chips, but when I say to you this is an important verse in the season, write it down. Please, write it down. It's not about me saying it. It's just that this verse is, this times, a few things I'm going to say today, they will be important over this next season to walk as those butterflies. Do you know what? If that butterfly that's really in the cocoon waiting to emerge decides, I'm going to wait for somebody else to crack me open, guess what happens? They die on the way out if they didn't struggle themselves to get out. If somebody takes that cocoon and decides, well, I'm just going to help you out, and breaks it apart and just going to give them a little bit of a hand, they don't have to struggle. And in the struggle is where the development of the butterfly's wings are. And that's how flight gets taken. That's how these things begin to happen in the midst of this. And I believe that for us, this is true as well. But Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says this, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And then here's this man that cries out in Mark, the next verse, and he says this, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Then what did he say? Help my unbelief. You say, can we have both? It's not that we can't have them simultaneously, but we can have them one after another. And that feels like what this season has been over the last little while, is a belief, unbelief, belief, unbelief, belief, unbelief. And it's like this sense of being stuck and broken in two almost in there. And it's a matter of, in this season, of putting aside our unbelief. And I'll get into all of that a little bit later. But here's the problem. You might want to write this down, but here's the problem from the last season. When exhaustion, disbelief, or doubt, frustration, name it, find one, is left unchecked, it takes over in our life. Frustration becomes to be the language that we begin to be using all around us. Simple things, like the other day. Okay, simple things where I thought my fridge was broken. Oh, I'm so embarrassed to say this. I thought my fridge was broken, even though I've been told that this is what this does. And even Karen has said to me, that's just this. But I heard this, like this, like, almost sounded like something was breaking inside. It was just the ice machine making ice. But I, again, realize, and it's a part of what we're going to talk about a little bit later, that I've had over these last years something that I battled with very hard before I ever came here. In fact, battled with it, I'm getting ahead in my notes, but 25 years ago, battled with a condition that I call the glass is half empty. And I lived with it. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later on in this here this morning. But that was, again, a realization that I had. I'm still working these things through. I'm still walking away. Somehow that's come back on my life again, and I got to crush it with everything that I have.
See, you might say that I want to believe, but eventually, here's the problem. The ingrained mindsets from the last season, they take over and your messy heart shows through again. Don't put up your hand. How many of us have a messy heart right now? Don't put up your hand, okay, in the midst of this. I'm not asking you to do that. But our hearts are messy, meaning that our hearts have been hurt, our hearts feel frustrated, our hearts have been disappointed, all these things. There's this mess within us at times in our hearts. And what does the Bible say that in Luke chapter 6, 45, this is sort of my, I take a part of this and said, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth will speak. And you say, if I hear my mouth speaking, I want to convince myself that I'm okay and my heart is okay. But really what my mouth is speaking is what my heart is trying to process. And it's a realization that I've got to begin to align not only in this double-edged sword we'll talk about a little bit today, in the sense of aligning that my heart and my mind line up. Because it's not one or the other. We can't have this journey where we're going, I need my heart to be healed in the midst of these things. And then we realize that, guess what? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 talks about the renewing of our minds. And in our minds, these mindsets are how we see everything. Mindsets is how you believe. You say, no, the Word of God. The Word of God is trying to create good, healthy mindsets within us. That when a situation happens, we immediately in our mindsets are to go to the Word says this. I believe the Bible says this. That is what, that is that sense of maturing and walking with the Lord. This last season, though, it's been something along the lines of when I think of Daniel chapter 7, I believe it's 24, 25, somewhere in around there, and it talks about that the enemy has come to wear out the souls of the saints, to wear out the saints. But guess what? I'm not going to get worn out. Come on, say it with me. I'm not going to get worn out. I'm not going to get worn. I love the scripture that talks about being crushed, but I'm not overcome in this way, that I am not abandoned. I am not going to sit here for the rest of my life. I am not even going to sit here for the rest of this month. I refuse. And here's the thing, what I want to do sometimes, maybe you're not like me, and Lord, I hope you're not like me, but sometimes instead of digging out a pathway to get out of something, I dig a hole and sit in it and pout. Okay, none of you do that. Moving on. Okay, in this. Here's the thing. When we get together, we have to watch that we're not triggering each other. And I don't mean the fact that we can't share, because there's this really difficult line sometimes to find with the fact of sharing burdens with one another. That's scriptural, right? But there is also this thing of the sense of that when we slime each other with our doubts and our fears, and what we really are saying to this other person is, come here, help me dig my hole a little bit deeper, and I just need some company so we can both sit in it and pout. And if they say, wow, that's really, really hard, Rod, I know it is, but it's true. I have experienced it in my own life, and it's something that I'm going, okay, you know what, separating, isolating, grinding, frustrating, and entrenched mindsets, but they are based upon lies. They are based upon the lies of the enemy. And you know what happened to me over this last 2 years? If somebody said to me, what lie are you believing? Everything within me, I was like, God, I have a filter, I have a filter, I have a filter, I have a filter. Because I was about to smack them. And you're like, Pastor, what? Okay, do you want me to be honest or not? Come on now. Some of you are looking like you got seven heads. Just breathe deep with me. But that phrase became annoying to me. And I'm the guy that most of the time brought it out. Because what was happening is I was holding on to an ounce of truth and was not willing to even look at the lie that I have believed because of a circumstance. Here's the thing. In this next season that we're about to walk into, to break out of that cocoon, we have got to be willing to say, Lord, what is the entrenched mindsets in my life that have got to go? And we have to got to walk away from the fact of the feeling. And this is what I had to do, that if I had a negative mindset or if I had a lie that I believed, that I would begin to concentrate on the fact that, see, if I said that, that means I'd failed. That means I was a, and then you go from having failed to what's the next step? You believe you are a failure. And see, this is this progression that happens with a glass half empty mentality. Is it that when you begin to see something difficult, before you know it, you have got, for example, for me, driving along in my car, this was about 30, maybe even 35 years ago, driving along in this blue Taurus, and all of a sudden you hear this noise in the engine. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It is not a friendly noise. It is not a noise of like, here we go. It is like a, it's like the car just started to have a rap song kind of deal. But within seconds, I was about to drive off the road. I'm dead serious. In my mind, I progressed from the noise, means the car's going to break down, means the car's done. I might as well find a wrecker right now so I don't get stuck out in the middle of somewhere, and I'll just drop the car down there, get a ride, get home, go to a dealership and buy a new car. Now, you might say that seems awfully extreme. When you live with a glass half empty mentality, your brain begins to lie to you, and it gets you to go on a journey that before you know it's something that is simple, because that was just simply just that there was, and it cost money. Sure, everything costs money in that way, but it took that little blue Taurus in because Karen was smarter. Just being honest, okay, at that time, and she went, maybe we should just get it looked at first. And sure enough, it was about, I think, I can't remember the exact amount, but it was a couple $100, and it was fixed, and we were ready to go. See, that's, though, this mentality that I had spent a long time crushing. That those years back, but it's about 25, I began to look at it to remember what it is, and it was a season in my life where I decided that this has got to go. And it was a generational thing that was upon my life, as well as a learned behavior. And because something is a generational thing, it doesn't mean that I don't have the responsibility to change it. In fact, I have the responsibility to change it so that it doesn't continue to go down to my children, to my grandchildren, and to the next ones. Because even though it is a generational thing, and you can sense even the fact of a spiritual battle within it, it is a learned behavior that comes from it that I begin to teach my children without even knowing. And it's something that really where we're going in the kingdom right now and where God is going to, he's doing. And even these pictures so fit perfectly this morning of this butterfly that we are in a position right now. We're in a place right now. And if you feel, even as Sean said, you got this sense of darked in, the sense of enclosed, the sense of, man, nothing's working right now. Then I tell you, the cocoon is not a fun place. But it's also something where instead of maybe talking about the cocoon this morning, I think about it like the wilderness. And I think about it like the children of Israel. Because here's the thing, many of these mindsets, belief systems that have been there, they have really been there a long, long time. And they have created attitudes. Have you ever known anybody with an attitude? Okay, so now you have to repent, okay, just for a second, of thinking that person. No, I'm just kidding. This is the journey that we're on right now. But it's the sense of this attitude. I'm not talking about someone who has an attitude, okay? I'm talking about you have an attitude that might, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Can I just put that on pause for a second and continue to go here? Our attitudes decide our direction. Write it down. Our attitudes decide our direction. No matter how spiritual you think you are, no matter how close to God you think you are, it is your attitudes, which attitudes are created from lies and from truth. They are both ways. They are created from God's word and from truth and from positive things that have been shown to us and believed for us, but they've also been created from lies that we have believed from difficult situations. And these things, these attitudes that must come in, and you say, well, is this really important? Our attitudes, as I said, decide our direction, and they are very, very, very important to God the Father. The book of Exodus tells us of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. It speaks of God's miraculous power. Can you imagine have been there and saw the sense that they had been in bondage for 400 years in this place, like generation after generation after generation, and Moses comes along and says, we're leaving. And all of these plagues begin to happen, and all of these things begin to happen. And if you are an Israelite at that time, and you're looking going, wow, look at what our God's doing. so amazing in the midst of this. And then you go and you leave and you actually go through the Red Sea. I love cartoon movies that show this. Use their imagination and go, I don't know how it was, but it would have been awfully cool to have sit there and walk through a river and having water stopped and be able to walk through and it was dry. Have you any fishermen in the house? If you go out into a boggy river, okay, in there, that is, even if it's deep at the bottom, unless it's made of really, really hard stuff, it is usually like you can stick your almost down to here. I have gone fishing. I have lost a fish. I have fell out of a boat trying to catch a fish that I almost lost and get up to my kneecaps here in that kind of mud and that stuff that's there. But they experienced dry, instantaneous dry land. They experienced miracle after miracle in this moment. They had at that time, we talk about crying out for miracles. They would see a cloud, a literal cloud to come, not just some imaginary thing. They would look and they would see the cloud of the presence of God come with them by day. And by night, they saw that which was a cloud of fire or a fire that was there that looked like fire. Come on now, how much did they see? They had so many reasons when they walked in and God brought them through, wiped out their enemies, brought them on the other side of them. They should have been like, come on, let's go. Because they'd seen so many things. And God this week is reminding me of all the things that I've saw. And he says, Rod, even though they saw all those things, just like you've saw so many things, they still struggled with the mindsets of Egypt to get them out of them. They struggled with the mindsets of the bondage of the past season. They struggled with the mindset. And I have been, for the last month, God has been, and when I say this, God has been rebuking me. Don't think that this is not a bad thing for me. Maybe it is for you. When God rebukes me, it's not a bad thing. I know I'm going to be better at the end of it. Come on now. I know I'm going to be better at the end of it because this has got to go. If he's saying it's got to go, it's got to go. And there was this sense of looking. And if you look at Numbers chapter 13, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan. We know that they sent 12 spies, right? And then one from each tribe. And then this is this phrase you might want to remember, which I am giving to the Israelites. For each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. And then when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up to the Negev and onto the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of town do they live in? Are they walled? Are they fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or is it poor? Are the trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some fruit of the land, for it was the season of the ripe grapes. So all 12 spies had all been freed from Egypt. They had all, every one of them that went, had walked through the Red Sea. They'd all experienced this. They'd all seen the plagues. They'd all seen all these things. You know what I'm talking about? When they got to get released from Egypt, they'd seen everything. They'd seen the protection upon their own life. They'd seen the fact that the enemy's coming. Let's go. But the enemy was swallowed up in the river as it began to swallow them up. They all, 12 of them, seen miraculous things. And all that happens is they begin to see a few giants that begins to restore an old mindset. You see, all of us have giants. I have got some giants that I have kicked out of my life that have been pounding and pounding and pounding to get back in over the last few years. Anybody else there? Or is it just me preaching to myself here this morning? They have been pounding and pounding and pounding. And if you've ever been so tired from the pounding, and what you do is you let your guard down. And I'm not talking about salvation here. Hear me clearly. I'm not talking about whether or not, oh, I failed and so that I'm not saved anymore. Can we just move beyond that in there and understand that God has a purpose for all of us? And we are about to walk into some amazing things. But listen, ten, however, saw through the lens and the mindsets of their Egyptian past and of their bondage. But two saw through the promise given to God in Moses' statement. We need to recognize the lessons here in all of these things, that the 10 negative reports were based on mindsets that lingered from an Egyptian bondage. These same men, again, were delivered. They saw all these things begin to happen, but they began to speak, we can't do this. They're too big for us. I'm trying to sit. I'm trying to stay. Listen, I have got to use my mouth to move others with me. This is what has to happen. And this is what my argument with God is. It's like, Lord, I'm not doing really well at this. Ask my wife. Isn't that always the case of it, right? I'm not doing overly well. Go preach it, Rod. I'm not doing overly well. Go preach it, Rod. Oh, okay, I'll go preach it. Our mouths in this season need to declare, and when we look back, it's not to find the things that haven't worked, but it's to specifically find the testimonies that what God has done, and then begin to speak declarations that I'm not going to let the present giants that are smashing at my door take over my proclamation. Come on now, got to be with me in this. This is not just me hyping it up. This is not just me. You got to understand this is life-giving. And when something happens, you see, this is the way out of the bondage. This is the way out of the wilderness. And I've got to go a little quicker here this morning. I'm sitting back down so that I can stay on track. So what can we possibly attain? The difference between Caleb and Joshua. How are they different? And I'm like, Lord, I've looked through scripture and I know that eventually they have a heart and they go and they spend time and Joshua spends time in your presence. And I'm sure that Caleb does. It doesn't say specifically, but I know that he would have in that. But this is not really, a lot of this hasn't happened yet. And I felt the Lord say this to me. So this is the RJC, Rodney, Jeffrey, Craig version of this. Okay. And this is what I believe that the Lord said to me. Caleb and Joshua believe the promise over their present problem. It's kind of simple. It's really kind of simple. We're either going to believe one or the other. We're going to believe, and that doesn't mean that we say that there's not a problem. I can't stand it when the people stick their head in the sand and say, I'm just going to stay here until the problem goes away. That doesn't help anybody. But I'm not going to allow the problem to decide who my God is. I'm going to decide that my God will decide how long this problem lasts. He is the one that is with me. He will walk with me. And for them, they chose the promises of God. And I tell you, if you've ever been in the situation that I found myself a couple of months ago, do you want me to be honest with you or not? I feel like there's a little bit of tension in the room. Do you want this? Yes? Okay. So I struggled to pray. I struggled to read the word. And you say, what? After walking with God for as long as I have, knowing what the answers is, knowing what I should have been doing, that the deepness of the depression began to be that I didn't sit there and go, I'm not going to pray. But here's why I started to slip away from prayer life. I knew what he was going to say. And I knew he was going to call me up. But I dug my hole and I was having my pity party. And I knew he wasn't going to let me stay there. Now, again, I wish this wasn't recorded. But there is a sense of that I've needed others. I've needed others to come and grab my hand and lift me up. I needed friends, family, and those that are around to sit there and grab me by the arm and go, this isn't the place to stay. I know it's the strangest sense of how pity parties feel good in the moment, but they produce nothing but death. I'm telling you. And that sense of getting up and deciding that I have to once again. And so when I went to prayer and I began to say, okay, Lord, first of all, I'm here to repent. I have been wandering. I have been avoiding you, God.
Anybody else? Is this hitting where you are at all? I've been avoiding you, God. And first of all, I repent because you're the only one with the answers. And so, Lord, I position myself in repentance to say, forgive me for wandering. Forgive me, Lord, for not coming to you. Forgive me, Lord, for being too busy. Forgive me for all, whatever the reason, because prayer, what prayer says, listen, prayer does a lot of things, okay? But this is the one major thing in my life. This is just, an RJC, okay? One major thing in my life is prayer reminds me who's in charge. And prayer reminds me who's not in charge. Prayer reminds me that I'm dependent upon him. And I choose to be dependent on him. Prayer doesn't remind me I've got nowhere else to go and I've got no other option, so I got to go to God. And if I could be blunt with you all this morning, that's sometimes how we work, right? Come on now. Both my hands are up in case you're wondering, okay, in this. But there is something that prayer cannot be a last resort. Prayer cannot be, and I even to the point of, Lord, do you really want me to say this? Okay, so tongues. Some of you might go, what in the world is tongues? And it freaks you out a little bit. Go read Acts chapter 2. It's all throughout the book of Acts. You understand this heavenly language in the midst of this. But I've seen a practice at times that when things are difficult and when things are stressful, that is when we begin to speak in tongues. Come on, that's what happens, right? And we say, well, we learn because we fight the enemy. But that's not the only reason for tongues. That's not the only reason to pray. We find that when everything is falling apart, where do we go? We go to God in prayer. And here's the thing that I say, and you guys know I love you, right? You know this, you know my heart in this. But listen, we've got to stop. We've got to start going to the Lord just to spend time with him. Just to spend time. So he's been challenging me, can I keep my mouth shut in prayer? And you say, what? That you're supposed to do all these other things. Yes. You ask in prayer, yes. You declare in prayer, yes. But here's the thing. If I keep my voice going long enough in prayer, I don't have to actually listen to what he's saying. But if I stop, I might just hear his voice. And that's this journey in the last little while again of going, God, I want to hear your voice. I trust you in the midst of all of these things, that Lord, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. There's something that I believe that moves us out of the present situation, and it is called, it's this way. When they began to, what got them, for the children of Israel, what took them so that they could not walk into their promised land was that they did not believe God. They doubted the Lord. That those 10 tribes, or 10 leaders, their doubt began to move the whole company, and they all agreed with him and said, no, we can't go in there. We can't go in there. These giants are too big. And so their doubt kept them out of the promised land. But what kept them wandering around in this was their, believe it or not, was their complaining. Look it up. Read the scriptures. I don't have time to go through it this morning. Go through Numbers chapter 13 and go through and read it. It was their complaining. They complained constantly in the midst of this. And so the Lord began to talk to me about the fact of my complaining. None of you probably do a whole lot of that. But man alive, I realized that my voice... I'm going to give you this challenge a little later on, but I felt like the Lord said, you probably couldn't go a day without complaining. And I went, challenge accepted. 2 minutes later, I am not kidding. 2 minutes later, I felt this. Good job, Rod. Okay. Now, you can do this, Rod. I believe in you. You can do this. And so I've been on this journey of removing complaining from my lips and from my mind and my mouth, that I would begin to say, Lord, once again, that doubt and complaining has to be far from me. Because here's the thing. If we complain and we doubt, and I'm going to get really, just for these few more, oh man, our time is gone already. For these few minutes, I'll wrap this part up here. I'm preaching again next week in this.
But here's the thing. This doubt and this complaining locks us into wilderness wandering. I'm going to say it again. Doubt and complaining locks us into wilderness wandering. That we get stuck in the wilderness wandering around. Did you know that the wilderness was meant for something more than wandering? Do you know that there is a difference between wilderness wandering and wilderness walking? And next week, what I want to share with you is the difference between wandering in the wilderness and walking through the wilderness. There is a walk that we begin to do. The wilderness is for the purpose, write this down. The wilderness is for the purpose of preparation. It's for the things to come. It's not for punishment. When you find yourself in a wilderness, when you pray and nothing seems to happen, when you're asking questions and you can't hear God's voice, what's the first thing we say? Lord, what did I do wrong? We immediately assume that an absence of the fullness of the presence of God or something where there is a wilderness for us, that we've done something wrong and we're being punished. Okay, just lastly here, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Just go over to Matthew chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 13. I cannot believe how that time is just taken off today. Matthew chapter 3. And we'll just close in a little bit with this here. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And this is when Jesus is being baptized, right? Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, no, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so, for thus is fitting for us to be fulfilled for all righteousness. And then he allowed him. And then this is the verses. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So this is this experience that Jesus has when he is being baptized. Let me ask you, did Jesus sin? Everybody should be saying no really, really loud. Did Jesus sin? Did Jesus fail? Did Jesus make mistakes? No, it is not possible because he is God. He was not becoming God. He always was God in those situations. But he knows what it's like to be tempted to make mistakes. He knows what it's like to be tempted to sin, but he has not done these things. So if this is even to the point where God the Father shows up at his baptism and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, what does the next verse say in chapter 4? It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. See, we have to get an understanding that the wilderness is not punishment. Jesus was not being punished. He was being prepared for the next season. So in this wilderness that we find ourselves in, and you may find yourself in at a time, we have some choices to make. And next week, I really kind of want to walk into what those choices are so that we can be wilderness walkers and not wanderers. Because the truth is that in my life, what began to happen is this half-empty mentality began to come back. And when this half-empty mentality, which is I've already shared somewhat what it is the fact is that we see the glass half-empty all the time. And in fact, what happens is if this begins to creep into you, you wonder if there's even any water in the glass at all. And even though the glass could be completely full, you will find the millimeter that's not full to declare, well, it could have been fuller. And see, this mindset begins to move us into missing out on what God has. So here's my challenge for you this coming week. I'm sorry that I'm taking so much longer today in this. This is my challenge for you this week. Let me just see if I can find it. Here, there we go. Okay, so here's my challenge, and it's from a book that I had read a long, long time ago in this. But here's the challenge. Replace a complaining attitude with a thankful attitude. Now, here's your challenge. Go 3 days without complaining. Write it down. Put it in your phone, whatever you're going to do. Go 3 days without complaining, and it will bring new life to you. So we're going to check up on this next week. Don't not show up for church. He's like, I ain't going in there. I am not going to hand out the microphone going, so how did you complain? No, I'm not going to do that. But that's our challenge. Go 3 days without complaining. The second one is this. Replace covetousness. Covetousness means is a comparison spirit of saying that how come they got that? Have you ever seen this in the sense of looking over and somebody's blessed and their blessing annoys you? You're like, no, I didn't, Pastor Rod. I don't know what you're talking about in this. Listen, that is covetousness. And we have to replace that with something that is called contentment. And so the challenge is to go 3 full days without complaining about what you don't have. Okay, that might be easier for some than others. Here's the third one. Replace a critical attitude with an attitude of love. And this may be hard. Send 3 people you have been critical of a message of appreciation and encouragement, and if you so feel like it, you might want to repent for your criticism. That's my challenge. And it could be your wife, it could be your friend, it could be your uncle, it could be your pastor, it could be whoever it would be, but that's the challenge. The fourth one is this, replace a doubting attitude with an attitude of faith. Here's the challenge. Every time a doubt comes into your mind, grab a hold of it right away, reverse the thought, and bring a declaration of faith out of it. Grab it, hold it, right in the second that it happens. You're going to be prepared. You might get worn out for the first day. So because it's a sense of it happens so many times, you wouldn't believe how many times we doubt something. We put a belief somewhere else. Okay, the last one is this, a rebellious attitude. So, replace a rebellious attitude with an attitude of submission. The challenge is this, instead of ripping apart our bosses, our leaders, our fathers, our mothers, spend the 3 days being helpful. Turn your boss's heart around by being extraordinarily helpful in everything you do. That's your challenge for this week. Stand with me today. I believe that we are about to come into a season where we're going to see 2 things begin to happen. Pastor Jay talks a lot about the fact of both of these things, but I believe these encounter meetings are going to begin to bring the revival that our hearts have been longing for. Come on, that was a great opportunity right there. But in this, listen, the Thrive groups and the journey that we're going on, the discipleship that we're going on is going to help us to begin to change these mindsets because you can't bring heaven down if your mindset is filled with these 3 things. And even if you begin to fill up on the new wine of the presence of God, if our mindsets are so filled with cracks that are, in a sense, when you think about it, like the wineskins, we need a brand new attitude, a brand new sense, because where God wants to take us, boy, I tell you, this last month has been some heavy-duty change for me, and I feel like I've stepped 1/4 of an inch forward, but boy, am I excited about that quarter. I could scream and yell about that 1/4 of an inch, but I can't wait to see what God is going to do in the midst of all of us. Close your eyes for a second. And so what I'm asking you today is if you would just say yes, Lord, yes to the Lord. And when you say, well, what am I saying yes to, Pastor Rod? We're saying yes to going on this journey, this 3-day journey, to say, Holy Spirit, come, give me the strength that I need. Show me these attitudes that are in my heart and in my life and help me to replace them. Help me to replace this complaining attitude for an attitude of absolute thankfulness and joy. For then we will begin to see the world around us changed. And every one of those, Lord, I pray that you would help us. I know firsthand, and I know from your word that you will not change us. You will give us the strength to be changed. We spend time in your presence, yes, and our heart is changed, but we must renew our minds in your word and change. It is a choice. It is a choice. It is a choice. You will strengthen us. You will be with us. You will give us everything we need, but we must choose to change. So, Lord, I put my hand up right now, and I declare that I am willing to change. You're with me? Just put your hands up. Lord, I am willing to change. I am willing to be transformed. I am willing to go on this journey to break out of this wilderness wandering and to simply walk out into the next.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.